Hello and welcome to The Transforming Word, a presentation of Calvary Chapel of Lima, Ohio. Our teacher, Dr. Mike Spalding, is studying through the entire Bible. We will be looking at the impact the Bible has had on Christians in the past and how it can change our lives today. Now let's go with Pastor Mike and let the Word transform our hearts.
But he's writing this from what? God's perspective as he looks upon us. Because we all know, and you've heard me say this before, I know what a wretch I am. And I know there's nothing about me that's blameless. And so when the writer's, how blessed are those whose way is blameless, he's talking about from God's perspective. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing that God looks on you and says, announces that you are blameless? And we know that's true for all those who are born again. You can't play church. Playing church doesn't acquire for you Christ's righteousness. Only through faith, right? And when God looks at his faith children, his faith sons and daughters, they're blameless. That's an amazing thing. When you dwell on that for a moment, how do we acquire that? How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Now, when it talks about walking in the law of the Lord, what's it talking about? It's talking about being obedient to God's word, right? Now, let's apply that to New Testament Christians. We are commanded to obey the Lord. And the scripture tells us that obedience to God, following his commandments, living for him, doing the things he asks us to do, is a manifestation of what for him? Of his love, of our love for him. And we know that's true in earthly relationships, don't we? We express our love for our spouse or our children by doing things for them, especially things that we know that they would like for us to do. It's even more so in our relationship with God. That's how we demonstrate that we love him, by being obedient to him. And I was having a conversation earlier this week with someone, and we were talking about people's behavior, and I said, well, that's rebellion. And it was almost like they had never thought of it that way before. I said, well, think about it. When you're living in direct contrast to the Word of God, you know what God's Word says, and yet the person is living disobediently to that. It's not for lack of knowledge. It's for lack of submitting their will to the Lord, which the Bible says is rebellion. We sometimes excuse our own behavior as saying, well, you know, we try to justify and act like it's not quite so bad, or act like we had good reason to do it. And the bottom line is this, brothers and sisters, disobedience is rebellion. It just is. So we are blameless because of Christ. We walk in the law of the Lord as a demonstration of our love for him. Jesus said that many, many times. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Verse 2, blessed are those who observe his testimonies. All of those things, isn't that what the disciples, the apostles, wasn't that what they were tasked with? John's gospel, he said it over and over again. The first epistle we've been studying for the last several months, he says, I am testifying to you, or I am proclaiming to you what I have seen, what I have witnessed. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies. In other words, who are obedient, who live according to his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. Now, who seeks the Lord in their lost state? When you're lost, when you're an unbeliever, this is not a trick question. According to the scriptures, let me narrow it down. According to the scriptures, Who seeks after God when they're lost? No one. Nobody does. And I've always explained it this way. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. For you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And then all of a sudden you decided to make yourself come alive. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's not what it says. What does it say? You were dead in your trespasses and sins, but what? Christ made you alive. Christ made you alive. Let me read it for you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, let me get there, and I quote, you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Verse 4, but God. Well, that's a phrase, isn't it? We like that around here. But God. When the odds are stacked against you and things seem like, I can't deal with this. But God. God can. So when you were dead in your trespasses and sins, you were sons of disobedience, you were living in your lusts, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. Now, hallelujah is right, brother. Hallelujah. Because dead people do not come back to life by their own power. Now, my Arminian friends, if there are any of my Arminian friends here tonight and or listening, or we'll listen later when this is broadcast, you can send me your email and we'll talk about this in depth. But it's the testimony of the Scripture, brothers and sisters. It just is. God made you alive. That's what it means to be chosen. You are his beloved. Divinely loved. That's what that means. Divine. God loves you. And that's not just a cliche. He demonstrates his love for you in that you're born again. Because absent his mercy, grace, and choice of you, you're not born again. I think Paul said it best when he was talking to or about his Jewish brethren in Romans, that whole passage there, chapters 9 through 11, when he's talking about the Jews. Has God set them aside forever? No. No, he'll come back to them. But he says something very interesting. He says, listen, being saved, being chosen, being born again, it isn't really by the will of the flesh. It isn't really by the blood. And what he meant you can't do it as your own choice, and you don't get it as a birthright. I've known people that think, well, my dad's a pastor, so I'm okay with God. My relationship with him doesn't get my children anything. Hard time growing up, they'll tell you that. So how blessed are those, verse 2, Psalm 119, who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. Now, here's the distinction, though. I've explained that. Nobody, and you can turn to Romans 3 if you'd like, the final slam dunk. Romans 3, about verses 9 or 8 through 15 or so. It says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who seeks after God. No, not one. I mean, I don't know. It can't get any plainer than that for me. So how can people seek him with all their heart then in verse 2 of Psalm 119? Well, clearly, it's talking about saved people, right? See, before you're born again, you don't have the capacity or the ability to seek after God. But after you're born again, that's all you want to do. You want to seek after him. You want to chase him. You want to love him and serve him. Minister to people in his name. I've explained it this way before. When you're saved, your want-tos change. People, and I tell people this as a part of my story. All my friends back in the day were all barflies. And once I got saved, I found out who my friends really were. And then I realized I didn't have any. They were there for the good times, but that's not friendship. There is what my dear brother-in-law used to call associates. But after we're born again, our want-tos change. It's amazing how fast I had no desire for all of that and that lifestyle. God put a new thing in me, and I desired to seek him. Yes. Yep. Yep. We are a new creation. Yep. Yeah, and that's why I question or wonder about my Reformed brethren who, many of them teach infant baptism. Well, not many of them, most of them still teach infant baptism. Well, it brings them under the covenant, and then you're going to raise them up in the church and teach them, you know, the Westminster Catechism and this, that, and the other thing. That's all good. We should know the Lord. We should know why we believe what we believe. We should know the Word. But that's not a substitute for the born-again experience. And so we will seek him with all of our heart. Verse 3, they also do no unrighteousness. Now, if you've been with us on Sunday mornings through our 1 John study, you understand how the writer can say that. What's the context for saying they also do no unrighteousness? Well, the key is the next statement. They walk in his ways. The New Testament talks about it in this way. And John talks about it this way. When we abide in him, or as the psalmist says, when we walk in his ways, when we abide in him, we will not sin. That's what the word says. You cannot sin if you abide in him. That's right. So when do we sin? When we get off the path and we want to do it our own way. When we sin, that's clear evidence we're not abiding in him. We're not walking in his ways. So again, God sees us as blameless. He sees us as seeking after him. He sees us as righteous, not unrighteous. He sees us as walking in his ways. And look what it says in verse 4. You, and who is you there, by the way? That's God, right? You, capital Y, you, God, have ordained your, capital Y, talking about God, you have ordained your precepts, that we should keep them diligently. What are precepts? Well, precepts are principles, right? Truths. And it's talking about his word. God, you have ordained your word. Now, if you're looking for some place in the Old Testament that supports and teaches the inspiration of the scriptures, underline this verse. Because some people say, well, that's just a New Testament thing. The Jews didn't see it that way. Are you crazy? The word of God is God-breathed. He used human instruments, yes. And their various styles come out in the different books. And as we read through them, you can see the different styles and the different uses of words. And he uses human beings. But he ordained his truth, specifically the inspiration of the scriptures. And it doesn't depend. Here's another thing. The inspiration of the scriptures, the infallibility of the scriptures, is not dependent or isn't so just because I say so. It isn't so because this church teaches that. It's so because that is the testimony of God's word about itself. See, God's word, to be inspired, to be true, to be infallible, it doesn't need the church to say it, although we should be teaching it, and tragically, many churches aren't. They've abandoned the word of God as true. They've succumbed to secularism, humanism. What really started in the very early 20th century, in the early 1900s through the mid-1900s in Europe, in Germany specifically, and spread to France and England and some other places, but something that theologians refer to as higher criticism. And really higher criticism, doubting the scriptures, my opinion, gave rise on the philosophical side of things to what we see today, postmodernism, deconstruction, where nothing about the scripture is acceptable. That just blows my mind, by the way. Why people would continue to congregate in a certain place, I don't call it a church, but why they would continue to congregate in a certain place to hear a heretic or an atheist stand and rail against the word of God or whatever, and then think that they have been in God's presence. There are a good many folks that are going to get a wake-up call one of these days. Many, many, many. So he has ordained his precepts that we should keep them diligently. Verse 5, oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. That should be the heart cry of every one of us. Oh, God, that my life might be characterized by my obedience to your word. That's what he's saying there in verse 5. Oh, God, may my testimony in space and time to other people, whether it's my family or those that I work with, may my testimony be that I lived for you. And when we live that way, and that is our testimony, that is our proclamation to people, notice that something follows from that. Verse 6, then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments. You know, it's no accident that one of the most difficult things to do when you're living in sin is to be in the Word of God reading. That's almost an impossible thing to do, isn't it? That's because when you are living in disobedience, the Word of God is a testimony against you. It's the same principle that when we're having difficulty, if we're living in sin, our prayer life is probably about like that. Zilcho. It's prayer, after all, is communication with God, right? Well, that's going to be a one-way conversation, isn't it? Because God's going to call you to repentance. So, when our life is characterized by obedience to His word, to His will, then we'll not be ashamed when we come to the Scriptures, when we look on His commandments, and we'll rejoice in them, because we'll see a consistent lifestyle with His word. Rich. Not be ashamed. Yes. I shall give thanks, verse 7, to you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. Yeah, it's easy, and it's the right context. We worship and give thanks to the Lord when our heart is right before Him. You can tell. I'll just let you in on a secret. As a pastor, and this isn't some oh, how do you do that? Because you can do the same thing. It's just that I've got a bird's eye view. I get to see everybody. I look at. But you can tell from someone's countenance when they're struggling, when they're down, when they've been beat up, when they're going through something. You can tell by looking at them that their countenance is down. We should be able, and we are able, when we're abiding in Christ, when we're living in obedience to Him, when we come to His Word, we rejoice in His Word because it resonates in our own hearts and our own minds. It confirms what He has been telling us in the life that we've been living. And when all of those things are present, we can give Him thanks with an upright heart. And He just verifies everything that He said in these first few verses. When I learn Your righteous judgments, that's when I understand Your Word, when I'm studying it and I'm grasping and You're teaching it to me. When I understand it, I can give thanks with an upright heart. I shall keep Your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man keep his way pure? How can any person keep their way pure? He gives us the answer, doesn't he? By keeping it according to Your Word. Now, there will come a point as you study the Scriptures and study the Scriptures and study the Scriptures, and I'm not saying that you have to be a theologian. God doesn't call people to be theologians. He calls some to be pastors, teachers of the Word. He calls others to be evangelists. He calls others to gifts and ministries of helps and service in the church and ministry to His people. But He calls everybody to obedience, to a submission of their wills to His, in obedience to what He reveals to you and leads you in. And the longer that you walk with the Lord, this is something that should be happening. The longer that you're saved and the longer that you walk with the Lord, the easier it should be for you to hear the Spirit speaking to you. I'm not talking about some kind of mystical out-of-body experience. I'm talking about you should know when the Holy Spirit is directing you in a direction, when you're praying, when you're asking God, lead me, you should know as you walk with Him and you stay in the Word and stay in prayer, He is going to, and that's called what, by the way? Spiritual maturity, right? You're supposed to grow. What did Paul encourage us to do over and over and over again in his letters? Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And knowledge, he didn't just mean intuitive knowledge. Oh, I just know that's true. He's talking about experiential knowledge. You know it's true because he's proved it to you again and again and again and again. And so after a while, you have a deposit buildup, if you will. You ever wonder how you see some people and they talk about the Lord and they just start rattling off verses and they're not holding a Bible in their hands. They're just giving you scripture, giving you principles, giving you precepts. And you're just doing it from memory. And you think, that's amazing. Well, what you're witnessing is manifestation of the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit makes known the Word of God, right? The Spirit teaches us. So how can we keep our way pure? By keeping it according to the Word. The Word is our guide, right? With all my heart I have sought You. Do not let me wander from Your commandments. Yeah. Don't let me stray. Don't let me stray away from what You've revealed to me, Lord.
That's all we have time for today on The Transforming Word with Dr. Mike Spalding. If you'd like to listen to the message again, mail your request to The Transforming Word, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. Or you can go to our website. The address is cclohio.org. If you like, you can email Pastor Mike. His address is pastormike@cclohio.org. Again, if you'd like to write us, send your letter to The Transforming Word, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 1-800-345-8801. Please include the call letters of this station when you write. If you're in the Lima, Ohio area and would like to join us as we study through the Word of God, our services are held on Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and Wednesday at 7 p.m. The church is located at 682 West Grand Avenue in Lima, Ohio. Until we meet again next time, let the Word transform your heart. The Transforming Word is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel of Lima, Ohio.